starting off with the stats for today, there's so far been a total of 871 tests undertaken. We're awaiting results of 170, which means we have concluded tests of 701. We now have total confirmed cases of 37, which is 5 new cases since the briefing yesterday, and the current number of hospital admissions remains at 2. The 111 helpline continues to be used very, very well. In fact, they received over 100 calls yesterday and have now taken over 4,000 calls in total. But one of the things we do very much appreciate at the moment is there's lots of general concerns and queries out there in the general public that may not be medically related to COVID-19, but just generally things around that. So we have set up a new helpline, which the number for which is 686262. Helps if I get the number right. And that is our new helpline for people to be able to ring where they have general queries around COVID-19. So just to give you that number again, it is 686262, and they will be able to answer any questions that aren't medically related. I would stress again that the 111 helpline should only be used for those who are ringing in relation to medical queries or presenting symptoms of COVID-19. The new helpline will be open 7 days a week, and it will operate from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. It will be able to provide information for businesses, services, and also the support that's available in our community. And it will also provide an information point for those who can't access the government website, because we do appreciate there are people out there in our community that won't be able to do so. And it is also a place for people to call if they are concerned about others breaching the self-isolation rules or the stay-at-home guidance. So I would urge people, if it is not medically related, not to use the 111 line, but instead to use our new helpline with that number again, 686262. The other thing I want to mention today is there will be changes to the way our GP surgeries will be operating. So the GPs will be moving to video conferencing and telephone consultations rather than having face-to-face appointments in the surgery. GPs will also be ending all non-essential treatments, so things such as travel vaccinations, insurance reports, ear syringing and private medicals will be ceasing for the GPs for the time being, so they can concentrate on the frontline response. I would urge anyone who has any queries medically for the GPs that they contact the surgery and then follow the guidance of their GPs, which will normally be done over telephone or video. Please do not present at the surgery unless your GP advises you to do so. At the last press briefing I was at, which was Thursday, I was asked a question in relation to diving masks, and I commented that we had more than enough masks for doctors and medical professionals, etc., which is correct. We have several tens of thousands coming into the island. In relation to the diving masks, though, I have spoken to the organisers of the appeal since then, who have confirmed that it's not actually for doctors. What they are doing, which is a very worthwhile scheme, is they are looking to repurpose diving masks for use for patients that may be high oxygen dependency. The general masks won't be able to cope with the high oxygen pressure, but diving masks, if adapted, can. So I would urge people to support that scheme, and any donations of diving masks that they wish to do, if they could hand them in to Discover Diving down in Port St Mary, that would be very, very much appreciated. I'd also like to say a huge thank you to the local communities around the island. The amount of engagement there has been with various organisations wanting to go out there and help others has been absolutely astounding. People in this situation are working exceptionally well together, and I just want to say a huge thank you to all the community organisations out there, and a thank you to each and every one of you out there who is helping someone else. In terms of employers, one of the things I need to get out there is we have had, rather disappointingly, some comments from people that their employers are not allowing them to work from home, even if they have the working from home ability. I cannot stress enough that if people can work from home, they should be working from home. In this time, people should not be out and about unless they really, really need to do so. So I would urge any employers that if you have staff that are have the ability for work from home, that they are allowed to do so, and they do so from this week. In terms of test results, I also want to get out the message that although the general time for tests to turn around is 72 hours, there are tests that are taking longer than that to come back. In fact, we're aware of some tests that are taking over a week to come back. It is important that people don't read the fact they've not been contacted to being that they don't need to do anything, that they're absolutely fine. That is not true. Everyone, regardless of the test result, be it positive or negative, will be contacted by 111 to be given the result. So people should not stop self-isolating, assuming they're fine, simply because they haven't had the test results back within 72 hours. Some of the labs and some of the testing centres are taking longer than expected. So I'd like to thank everyone once again for the way they've been behaving. The Isle of Man Constabulary is feeding back that the vast and overwhelming majority of people are abiding by the new self-isolation and social distancing rules. And it is very, very much appreciated that all of us as a community are pulling together at this time. Thank you very much. And I will now take questions, and we start with Sam from Isle of Man Newspapers.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Sam.
It's a question that's been sent in to us this morning, actually, about the police and social distancing, where people are getting concerned that the police are stopping people to ask where they're going, in terms of they really don't want people going out into the countryside for exercise, yet this seems to be more compatible with the government's guidelines on social distancing. So just a question, are the police prioritising traffic reduction over social distancing? And there's also concern that they're exceeding their actual powers under the emergency provisions.
The police aren't exceeding their powers. They are quite entitled to stop people and ask what they're doing and where they're going. That is a perfectly legitimate thing for the police to be doing. And it is important that people recognise the police are there to assist us at this time. In terms of the exercise, etc., people should be going out for one form of exercise. The Chief Minister made clear in his speech last week, it's all around common sense. So, for instance, someone going out and being in a glen that isn't too busy and going for a walk is perfectly fine, but they shouldn't be going into areas that are crowded. The Chief Minister gave the example, I think, of someone who turned up at a glen, saw there were a few too many cars, and so drove on and went elsewhere. So a lot of it is common sense, but the police are there to help us with this and help us in our community at this difficult time. And it is perfectly legitimate they should be asking people why they are out and what they're intending to do.
But yeah, officers are telling people, and the police are putting on social media, that people should not be going out into the countryside to exercise, because they should be exercising in the local area. We've had people tell us they live in Kirkmichael, and a lot of people are using the old railway line, so surely it makes more sense to go 10 minutes in the road in the car and go around the plantation with their dog there, as opposed to being in one small area where there's a lot of people.
The simple answer, Sam, is it's a common sense approach to exercising. So people, if they're going out to deserted areas, they can keep the social distancing. That is absolutely fine, and that's the message that government has put out the whole way along. What isn't fine is if people are treating it like a family day out or a day out for them and going, for 6-7 hour treks. It's about common sense at the end of the day. And also where you've got built up areas, like, for instance, I mean, I represent Douglas North as a constituency MHK. You'll basically just be trawling the streets up in Douglas North. People may wish to go further afield to find somewhere quieter. That is absolutely fine. But it is perfectly legitimate for the police to stop people and ask what they're doing.
Okay. And the second question was just about the video and phone appointments of GPs. This is surely going to add to more isolation than some people may be feeling. Is there going to be an increased support for people who perhaps now won't be seeing their GPs, and how are we going to ensure that people who are needed to see their GPs are going to be able to still do so if perhaps it's a physical condition that would need examining, for example?
Well, with the GPs, first of all, people aren't banned from seeing the GP. It's a triage system. So basically, the GP will assess them either over the phone or via video conferencing. If the GP feels they still need to see that person, as you say, for physical conditions and so on, that can still happen. But what can't happen is people just turning up at the GP's surgeries. So the GPs are still able to see people in person. We've also been working with third sector organisations, which again, I think the Chief Minister touched on last week, in order to try and support people in their home, to try and make them feel not quite so isolated as they would otherwise. And also the mental health team within the department that has been repurposed to the front line to try and help support people as well. So we do have organisations and packages in place to try and help people who may be feeling a bit more vulnerable during this time than they were before.
Thank you.
Okay, next up we have Alex from the BBC.
Hi, David. Just wondering about this new COVID-19 phone line that people can get in touch with. How's it going to be staffed? Is it volunteers, paid volunteers? How's it going to be staffed?
So it's volunteers that we're staffing it with. Obviously, people who know what the answers to the questions will be. So it's people who have been trained around all the different scenarios as to what we may be asked. The main purpose of the line is to redirect things that aren't medical away from 111. We've had lots of queries from 111 that aren't really suitable for that line, such as, can my employer sack me during this period? My employer's not letting me work from home. We even, I believe, had one asking, can they kiss their dog during this crisis? Not really suitable for the 111 line. So we've actually created this line so that people who quite rightly may have general concerns have somewhere to go. So just to give you the number again, and I'll get it right compared to the first time I did it, it's 686262. That's for general queries, but anyone who has concerns about showing symptoms or feels that they may have COVID-19 should still contact 111.
Thank you. And obviously, because you're the Health Minister, this question's for you. I was just wondering, on a slightly more general level than we've been talking about a lot in recent days, different countries are very much at different stages with their response and the outcomes to their COVID-19 responses. I was just wondering, how closely does the Isle of Man listen and observe those responses from the international community compared to the advice that you obviously take from the UK and the NHS there?
Very much. As a nation, we look worldwide. We don't just look to the UK. For instance, we look at what the Republic of Ireland's been doing as well. We've also looked what Europe's been doing, even what China's been doing, because we as an island are in a very, very unique position to do what we need to do. So whereas the UK is very much into the phase of what you would term delay now, we are actually doing a mixture of basically containment and delay. So we are doing something very different that suits us. And certainly the actions that government has taken over the last week and a bit, particularly around locking the borders of our islands, is absolutely unique to us and is a response to what we are seeing happening around the world.
Thank you.
Next up, I have Josh from ITV.
Thank you, Minister. I hope you're well.
I'm very well,
Josh. Following Sam's question, really, I've also had people getting in touch regarding the exercise rules. Obviously, it says people are taking it as one form of exercise a day. Obviously, for people like cyclists who decide or maybe ride around the Isle of Man, their one form of exercise is hours on end a day, you know, doing that one form of exercise. So my question really is it worth putting a time limit on the exercises a day?
I don't think time limits work particularly well. Like I say, it's about common sense. So, you know, if people are going out for a cycle ride each day, that's absolutely fine. But what you don't particularly want is people, as you say, riding round and round the island and treating it as a day out. That's not the purpose of it. So to be perfectly honest, as with a lot of these rules, you know, they are there for common sense purposes. I think once you start getting too prescriptive, then you really do start getting into the nanny state sort of stuff. If people actually think about what they're doing and think about the implications of what they're doing, the key thing is around social distancing. The people should be staying at home, apart from the necessary shopping, apart from the necessary exercise, and that they should be exercising social distancing rules so that they are 2 metres apart from others, because that is the absolute key thing to breaking the chain of this virus.
Okay, thank you. And someone has also been in touch asking about advice you'd give to people who may be self-isolating at home, living with someone who has symptoms or may have symptoms themselves. You know, questions like, should they be cleaning everything consistently? Should they be washing their phones, services, and how cautious should people be there? And could that advice be added to the government website? And maybe that's some advice that they could be forwarded on to the new line that's been set up, as you said.
Yeah, well, as far as I'm aware, Josh, it is already on the government website. There is actually protocols about how, when you're sharing a house with someone who is displaying symptoms or even has been diagnosed with COVID-19, how you should react, like them using the bathroom separately, the bathroom being cleaned after every single time that they've used it. Etc. So those protocols are already there, and I will check, but from memory I think they are already on the website, and that will be available for the new helpline as well.
Thank you.
Okay, next up we have Rob, 3FM.
Good afternoon, Minister, how are you?
Good afternoon, I'm fine, Rob.
Excellent. I just wanted to ask a little bit about this thing that you mentioned. I believe I brought up in a question the other day about the waiting times for test results. If there's a situation where someone has taken a test and is awaiting their result, and in that time that they're waiting for that result, they complete their quarantine period, what should they do then? Just if you could give us a bit of clarity.
My understanding is they should continue to self-isolate until told otherwise by public health, with the result coming back.
Okay, thank you. My second question relates to this on-island testing facility we're hoping to get by mid-April. Assuming all goes to plan and it is set up by that time, I just wondered if you could give us any specific numbers as to how many tests you're looking to complete a day, how many results you're hoping to get back a day, and what the average waiting time for a result will be. Could you give us any specific numbers that you're looking at as a target?
So in terms of the swab testing, people will remember that at previous press conferences I've said we've been looking currently to average about 30 a day. We've been exceeding that by a large amount. We've actually been doing roughly around about 60 to 70 tests a day, even under current circumstances. Once we've got the on-island testing facility up and running, obviously it will still be limited by the amount that can be processed at any one time. So we would be looking to keep that average of around about 60 tests a day. In terms of turnaround, it would literally depend upon the numbers going through the testing centre, but we would hope to have most results within 48 hours.
Okay, thank you.
Next up, I have Tim from Manx Radio.
Pastor Mike, can I just, before I ask my question, follow up on that, can you give us some information in relation to the testing that hopefully will come online quicker? We saw reports of this helicopter flying yesterday just to update people.
Yes, in terms of the helicopter, that was a medical supply helicopter. It was actually bringing over parts for the testing centre that we're setting up here on island. So that's what the flight was actually for. And the other flight that I see some people have been talking about on social media, that was the flight taking swab tests off island to actually be processed by the labs in the UK. So it was important that we got the parts for the testing lab over as quickly as possible. And I'd like to thank the individual that donated the helicopter to allow us to be able to do that with the parts that were at that point stuck in the UK.
Do we know how many people who have called 111 have been told to self-isolate at home, even a ballpark figure? Because that surely will factor into the way you are thinking about things and approaching the whole matter. And do we know of people getting better?
At the moment, we will. Obviously, it's still early days in terms of our curve. People are slowly recovering in the community. And one of the things we will be doing, because 111 obviously keeps track of all those that have been diagnosed with COVID-19, as people recover, we will be able to publish the number of recovered cases as well. So what you see around a lot of countries in the world is at the moment we're reporting the total number of tests undertaken and the total number of cases identified. But of course, that's a figure that will never go down. It will only ever go one way, the total number of confirmed cases. What's equally as important is we have the figure of how many people have recovered, and we will be building that up so that we'll be able to report that. In terms of how many people have been asked to self-isolate via 111, I don't have those figures with me. But it would be done based on clinical advice as to whether they believe people should be tested or at that point should just simply self-isolate.
And last question, fewer than 20 Manx or Island people we were told were stranded off island. Well, we put that story up. I can tell you a great many more than 20 people have commented saying where they are in the world. We need to get figures right, don't we?
Right, Tim, let's just clarify that one, because I think that's in relation to something the Chief Minister stated in Tynwald. What the Chief Minister was saying was that's 20 we know of. It wasn't saying there's only 20 Manx people out there that basically we are stuck. That wasn't what was said at all. It's about the 20 we know of, and the Chief Minister urged that if people have relatives, etc., or they are the people themselves stuck off Ireland, to contact the Cabinet Office so we can keep a list of where people are and to see what we can do to assist in individual cases where appropriate. It wasn't saying there's only 20 Manx citizens abroad.
Do we know how many there are?
Well, no, that's why we need to keep the list. I mean, obviously, with free movement of travel, we don't have passport control going out of the island. That's why we've said if people are stuck, and I've referred several in myself over the last few days from people who've contacted me, it is important they contact us so we can get a picture and an idea of where people are, because some people aren't even in the UK. I'm aware of people who are currently stuck in India or even stuck in the Far East or in Spain due to the lockdowns that are going on around the world. So it's about us understanding the metric of where people are, but it certainly wasn't the Chief Minister saying there's only 20 Manx residents stuck off Ireland. He's referring to the 20 that we know of.
Thank you.
Okay, Chris, you're up next.
Good afternoon, Minister. I know these are unprecedented times and tackling the coronavirus is the main concern right now. Many islanders, though, would have had medical procedures scheduled over the next few months. Will they be going to the bottom of the queue when normal service does eventually resume?
No, obviously it will be done. Obviously, all surgery is done on a prioritisation basis. So those that are most in need will be treated first. So it's a full triage across surgery. That's how we operate the lists normally. These are very different times to what we're used to. And it has been some very, very hard decisions to end the elective surgery and other forms of surgery that we have been doing. Many of these people have been waiting years to be able to get the particular surgery they're after. And it really is heartbreaking that we've had to take the decision to postpone them further. But it is absolutely essential that we focus on the response to COVID-19. And it is just not practical to be able to go ahead with that type of surgery at the moment. But certainly it's not about people going to the bottom of the list. All the lists, when things return to normal, whenever that is, will be reassessed. And those that are most in need will, as always, be triaged and prioritised.
Thank you. And I'm sure you've read the reports of altercations as people steal food and struggle for money in Italy due to the coronavirus pandemic. I appreciate they've been in lockdown there since the 9th of March. But how do you plan to prevent similar civil unrest here if the stringent new measures remain in effect for the next 3 weeks, months or so down the line?
Well, firstly, we need to make a distinction between what we are terming lockdown in the Isle of Man and what lockdown is in Italy. Movement is a lot more restricted in Italy. In fact, people are supposed to be remaining entirely within their own homes. There's very, very few exceptions, even less than what we've got, that people can actually go out and about. So our lockdown is very, very different. We are still operating, as normal in many areas. There's many people still working from home, etc. What is very, very different about Italy is the stage we've got to. The measures we have taken, the firm measures this government has taken over the last week, is so that we do not end up in the same situation as Italy. As a small island nation, we have a lot more adaptability than large jurisdictions. And so there's a lot more options on the table, some of which are around border control, etc., that we can exercise that large jurisdictions can't. And also our trace back of being able to break the chain of the virus is a lot easier as well. For instance, if you were in London, there's no way on earth you could do the trace back, because if someone's diagnosed and they say, well, what have you done over the last 14 days or so? The immediate answer is you've been on the tube. You may have been to Costa Coffee where there was about 70 people in. It's just not physically possible. We're in a very different world and a very different situation here in the island. And we've got a lot more tools that we can use compared to those large country jurisdictions.
Thank you.
And then last up, but certainly not least, I have Paul, MTTV.
Thank you, Mr. Ashford. Nice to see you. We're all watching these pictures on TV of the Excel Centre in London, also these other plans that the UK government has now got for these super hospitals. Obviously, we're on a smaller scale, but I trust you have plans in operation. Would it be the NSC or a hotel that's probably in the countryside? are we looking that far ahead in case we do get to that sort of situation here on the Isle of Man?
The department plans for a multitude of scenarios. I've said this from the very start. We look at everything from the best case scenario to the worst case scenario and plan accordingly. So there are plans in action if we should need to expand capacity further. At the moment, those details are still being worked up. We're still in a very different place. We're very low on our curve. And the firm actions that we've taken over the last week is in order to try and depress the curve here on the island compared to what's been seen in other jurisdictions. But there is nothing off the table. As the situation develops, we will adapt accordingly. And I hope people will realise that from what they've seen of government policy and the way we've been doing it step by step over the last month, that's exactly what we are doing.
And it appears that a fair few people who are UK residents came to the Isle of Man before the lockdown because it was seen as a better option, and the same things happening in the UK, people going off to Wales and that sort of thing. What's your message to those people who are effectively UK residents? Do you want them to go home, and if they get ill, therefore they'd be treated by the UK NHS, or they can they stay here, and can you bear that in our system?
Well, Paul, until we shut the borders, we did have free movement between ourselves and the UK, and people who came in were entitled to be here. But the thing I stress is, of course, these people, if there are some that have come over and are still here, then they must have families in the UK, etc. If they leave the island, they can't get back in. I don't believe it's large numbers. We haven't seen the equivalent of what they saw up in Scotland, I believe, in the Highlands, etc. We haven't seen evidence of that. And one of the reasons government acted so quickly as we did was to actually prevent that being something that could happen here.
Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, everyone. And I think the Chief Minister will be back with you tomorrow. And I think you've also got a presentation from the Treasury Minister. Thank you.